Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You. Today I have with me Mr. Pradeep Bajal, who was the former chairman of the Telecom Regulatory Authority of India. And he's a published author of several books. We are talking to him about his last book, which is Containing the China Onslaught. We've already done two episodes in the series with Mr. Bajal. The first one was on China and the background for its growth. The second one was on China's behavior. And this episode, we're going to take Mr. Bajal's views on what are the ideas to tame China and who will win. So Mr. Bajal, thank you once again. You spoke about the Industrial Revolution 4.0 and 5.0, which is going to probably drive the next few decades. Tell me, what are your thoughts?
You see, it's very interesting. Let me go a little behind. Mm-hmm. You know, when I started writing this book, mm-hmm. that was about 5 years back, what did I write on? I wrote that China and America are partners mm-hmm. in growth in China and growth in America. Mm-hmm. And who's against China and America? Basically, India, Japan, some other democracies on the fringe. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the original draft of the book was, as I said, China and America versus the democracies.
Correct.
Now, as I wrote the book, Trump issued his election manifesto.
Correct.
And the election manifesto said very strongly of what we said in the book. What did we say in the book? That China is taking advantage of Russia and is growing very fast and is pressurizing other nations. Then, when I wrote the book and I gave some interviews like yours, nothing much was happening, and then suddenly came Corona. Mm-hmm. And with Corona, the world changed again.
Correct.
And now you have come to the next election of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the issue is whether the world has understood the problems with a very strong China who's pressurizing all countries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that we have gone through Industrial Revolution 1, Industrial Revolution 2, Industrial Revolution 3.
Mm-hmm.
3 has reversed the trends of Industrial Revolution 1 and 2. What will happen in 4 and 5? After mm-hmm. all, 4 and 5 are also like Industrial Revolution 3. The technology is the same. Technology is in wireless, technology in interconnectivity, and technology is on connecting the world, and technology is globalization.
Mm.
So now we have to see how the politics of different countries will behave in the present pluses and minuses of China.
Correct. That's interesting. So, you know, you just spoke a little bit about COVID. I know that COVID has had a major impact on almost all countries. But the message that seems to be coming out of China is that things are back to normal. What are your thoughts on this, sir?
Well, number one, I have also gone through the news reports that you have gone through.
Correct.
And a number of news reports say, no, this is not true, the second phase has started, etc., etc.
Mm.
Now, COVID or Corona might have been controlled in China, might not have been controlled in China, that is not right.
Mm.
What is relevant is that a number of stories have come, and they say that Corona was initiated by China,
mm.
and it's an artificial Corona.
Correct.
Now, I read somewhere that WHO has appointed a committee headed by the past Prime Minister of New Zealand, and it should try and find out what's happening, because it should not be difficult to find out what happened.
Correct.
Now, that is very important. I don't know which way the world politics will go. But with Trump in the United States,
mm-hmm.
the action against China is much more strong.
Correct. So, you know, so in the first two episodes, we've spoken about the power of China, the huge amounts of investments that America has put into China. But what we are beginning to see in the post-COVID is at least some steps to start decoupling with China. I mean, you know, I was reading about Japan setting up a huge fund to be able to move Japanese companies out of China. Korea has started doing that. America openly is talking about it. Where they go is not the issue. My question to you is, how much can the world really afford to decouple, given the fact that China is really in the bloodstream of every country?
Yes. Now the processes have become more global. Some part is manufactured in China, some is manufactured in the United States, some is manufactured in India, and they get joined together, etc. So many times when we said that we'll get out of Hawaii, then people are saying, how will you get out of Hawaii? This comes from Hawaii, that comes from Hawaii, etc., etc. And the policies, even the policies being pursued in different countries do not give you a uniform message that you are getting out of China. Different countries are getting out of China. So this will only be determined in the future. Now, but the technologies are such, IR4 and IR5 technologies are such that things will positively change. Why are they different? They are different because these technologies are also on the wire and the wireless, and we know very well that Indians have done very well in the IT technologies and the mobile technologies and the smartphone technologies, etc., etc. So it is too premature to judge where the world will go forward. Even in Japan, there are indications that they are thinking of getting out, but they have problems in getting out. If you look at the American investment in China, they have increased. Now, how will the future behave? I don't know, because corporations don't act according to the interest of the nation. They mostly act according to the interest of the shareholder, and it means the profit. So it's too premature to find out. But there are two things which are very interesting. And those are that in the month of November, you have the election for Trump. And that is frightfully interesting because Trump has taken an open position against China. Whereas the Republican candidate has taken an open position, which is cooperation with everyone.
Correct.
So what the world is thinking, what America is thinking, will be determined in November in the United States. Though I'm not saying that if Biden comes, it will be pro-China. I'm not saying that even Biden may go for anti-China policy. But Trump has taken an open position for the last 4 or 5 years.
Correct.
So that is number one. Number two, the next session in China of some kind of Politburo group is also in November. And in that session, many decisions will be taken, and that will show whether Xi is losing power or gaining power.
Correct.
After all, you fully know that even in China, people can gain power, people can lose power. After all, Deng gained power and lost power at various stages. And the same thing had happened to Mao, to rarely. So all these countries, what ultimately determines is the will of the people. And the will of the people in November in China and in USA, whether it will be more in favor of China or not in favor of China, will be determined, and all of us will know better. Today, it is premature to make a judgment.
Correct. I agree with you. But coming to China, you know, I've been reading some articles that there are a lot of rumblings within the Chinese Communist Party, and that there are some generals who are openly coming out, and yet I was reading about a purge that is beginning to start.
You know, you are fully aware that all these rumblings have started coming recently.
Correct.
And even in Hong Kong, lots of things are happening. And even Deng's son, I had read articles, is a pro-democrat leader in China.
Okay.
So whether democracy is getting powerful, whether a fascist government is getting powerful, whether Xi is converting himself, whether so many countries back down when there is opposition. Is China going to back down? I think all, we'll have another session in November and we'll have the answers.
I agree with you. So, you know, I was reading some of your notes and I was also reading a lot about what President Xi is doing. He is constantly calling upon the teachings of Mao, which is absolutely understandable. But I was reading somewhere and I was talking to friends in China. Like Mao's Red Book, there is now Xi Jinping's book, which every teacher is supposed to have on their table in school. Is this a transition that's beginning to happen from Mao to Deng to Xi, with everyone else in between forgotten?
Well, that happens in all communist countries, all dictatorial countries, that the leader appears everywhere. And the strength of democracy is even the others are hurt. Now, even in 1949, it was said, the Comrade Mao had said that today is the day to go to Beijing to take an exam. You know, we have won the war, 1949 war, and now we are going to Beijing to take the exam. And recently some leaders also said that now other exams are coming, whether we have removed corruption, whether we become stronger. There are some very interesting indications which are positive for China. But China has started investing a lot in mass investments in the United States. Recently, they made a lot of investments in the Sikh automobile industry of Detroit. And I have some given data on that. They have invested a lot on the biggest pork farm in the United States.
Right.
So it will all depend if the conditions become normal, or if countries mutually give assurance to each other, there might be more cooperation between China and America, with America getting far more advantages. But generally, it appears that the position is not so. It is only so in published journals. One last point I'd like to mention before we walk away. You see, in 1989, the reforms had matured both in China and also in India. And because of reforms, there was lots of agitation, all kinds of reforms. There was lots of agitation both in China and in India. In China, the main agitation was Tiananmen Square. On one side, you had the forces, the Maslowian forces, asking for more freedom. And in India, you started having more activity in Kashmir. Both. In 89, you had the Tiananmen. And in 1990, you had the Hindu exodus from Kashmir. And when we had the Hindu exodus from Kashmir, there were loud noises which said nothing. You tolerated, you accepted, as a polity, you accepted the Hindu exodus in one state of India. And you were trying to come to a balance. And for so many years, you have tried to come to a balance with the Hindu exodus. I've heard leaders saying, yeah, we are such a big country. We are such a powerful country. One Muslim state in India doesn't matter. What was attempted was that one state becomes a Muslim state, the Hindu exodus. But now the reactions are different. Now a lot has happened in Kashmir. Now a lot has happened for the first time in Kashmir after 70 years.
Correct.
After 70 years of 370, after 70 years of 15A. So today the Indian state is much different from the earlier harmless Indian state.
Correct.
And the Indian electorate also used to see the state as a harmless state. I don't know whether it is good or bad for a democracy, but it was a harmless Indian state. Even China said that, look, this country, you can do everything. In China, in one state, the Uyghurs, the Muslim population, large Muslim population is almost in prison.
Correct.
So these are very strong forces. And those forces, what will happen to those forces will also be determined. In India, at present, it seems that we have an advantage. In China, it appears that there is a disadvantage. There is international dissatisfaction. there is Hong Kong dissatisfaction, there is the Uyghurs dissatisfaction. So what will happen, it appears that India has an advantage and China does not. But the next 2 months will tell you the answer.
So, sir, I've got two more questions before we conclude our series. My first question is on corruption in China. When President Xi Jinping came to power 7 years ago, he came in on the platform of corruption, that he would clean everything up. And he did clean up everything. But talking to a lot of friends in China, what really happened was that corrupt people in China were replaced by corrupt people who were loyal to the leadership now. Corruption hasn't changed in China. Any thoughts or comments from you?
You see, Xi, in a recent lecture, had said that we have become very casual.
Correct.
We have become casual towards corruption, and our future will depend on the future of corruption in China. Now, I don't believe that we should take anything on the face value. But a statement by Xi on corruption, it appears to me that this is a big problem. Now, whether the problem in India is bigger, whether the problem in China is bigger, we don't seem to know. But the people in China and India know. And as I said, it will all depend on what the people tell us in both countries in November.
Okay. And my last question to you, and this is about India, you know, post-Doklam and everything else that is going on in Ladakh, there is a general wave of rejecting Chinese goods and, you know, anti-China, let's not do this, etc. What should Indian politicians, businessmen, and the citizens be doing, you know, to be able to use your words, tame China? From an Indian perspective.
Okay. There can be two approaches.
Yeah.
Either you say that, yes, we should have friendly talks with China and we should continue our relations because we get a lot of cheap products from China. And whether if we stop taking those cheap products, whether our economy will take a hit. And same thing applies to the United States. It is not as if in United States they can easily replace the Chinese part of the production. So again, these are complicated things, but I have my faith in the past. What does the past say? The past says that America is a very powerful country.
Correct.
And it's a very powerful country intellectually. When America decided that China must go on the top, China went on the top in 25 years against 2,000 years earlier, when China and India were at par, America decided that China should go on top. Good reason or bad reason.
Correct.
And China went on top. Today it appears that that is not the feeling in America. And therefore, America will get hit. Let me go to another period. Japan was always friendly with the United States. And you remember the wars in 1904, etc., when Japan defeated a number of countries in Asia and they became a favorite of the United States.
Correct.
And United States helped them. And then suddenly came Pearl Harbor. Americans did not forget Pearl Harbor. And the Japanese paid for the Pearl Harbor when the small bomb and the big bomb were put on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Yes. The feeling was so strong on both sides that after the first bomb was dropped, Japan did not end the war. They were still fighting and the second bomb had to be dropped. So then you look at all the Plaza Accords, all the petroleum trade, etc., etc. USA still predominates all the business. So, and then look at Russia. The entire Soviet bloc was finished by the United States without firing a single bullet.
Right.
So the power of the Americans is immense. But even then, many times China had to help America during this limited 25-year period when America was helping China to go forward. And it would, China had to help America in pursuing a number of its policy objectives. So today, if the democratic world sides with America, it can fight China. Whether it would fight China or not after November is still to be seen. So in this divided world today, each country is divided, the groups are divided, the politics are divided. What will happen cannot be clearly stated, but China does not seem to have an advantage today. Chinese had this advantage normally if a country overtakes another country, powerful country, the powerful country kills this country which is trying to overtake. But United States helped China overtake the United States in terms of GDP in PPP terms. And now there are many calculations which say that China will be 50% of the world GDP if the present growth rates continue. So these issues are all being debated today. Yesterday they were not being debated. Obama and China were partners. So they were not being debated. Now with all these issues being debated today, it's a more difficult time for China.
So one more follow-up question, as you were talking, I was thinking. If you were to think of the world as, you know, one large group of people with a head table where the leaders sit, the center of the head table has traditionally been the US president. Do you think China has the ability to be take over the role as the leader sitting at the center of the head table of the world?
Well, if you take the performance of 25 years, this 25 years, the answer is yes. But the future cannot be determined by 25 years. There's a 2000 year period also to be seen. Then this figure is not per GDP, but per capita. This figure is total GDP. Sure. So it will have to be seen. But if you look at intellectual power, which should determine the world's future, the intellectual power is not yet in the hands of China. It is still in the hands of the United States. It has a very strong intellectual power also because of the immigrants, because they choose their immigrants very carefully, they use their immigrants very carefully. And if you look at all the heads of the American corporations, lots are immigrants. Yeah. And major part of them in this business, which will determine the world's future, the business of IR3, IR4, IR5, lots of them are Indian. I was reading somewhere, what is IR6, Industrial Revolution 6? And then someone answered in some book, someone answered that IR6 is interplanetary.
Okay.
Now, if IR6 is interplanetary, because our Elon Musk, etc., are saying interplanetary travel and also so many things interplanetary. Even there, very surprisingly, that business is also digital. Right. And in that business also, India seems to be doing extremely well.
Absolutely right.
And therefore, all this will determine the future of the world.
Mr. Bejal, it has been such a fascinating 3 episodes of discussions with you. Thank you so much for sharing your perspectives. And I'm sure all the listeners and viewers are going to enjoy every word that you have spoken. Thank you very much. And I wish you good health and lots more writing.
Then everyone needs good health in these days of Corona. Days of Corona. Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.